Yeah, they wrote me off. I ain't right back, though. That's the problem. I ain't right back. Let's go.
Runners will be off with a crack of the bat with two outs. Kimbrel deals. Bregman in the air, left field. Benintendi dives, and he makes the catch. Oh, what a play. Game saver, Andrew Benintendi.
Oh, you can stop asking that question, okay? I'm going to be calling the defenses, okay? So we're clear. So you don't have to ask that again.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Master Plan. I'm your host, Michael Flopkowski, and today, Connor and I are recapping the NFL draft. A lot happened, a lot went right for teams, a lot went wrong. Connor, how are you doing today, though?
Doing great, you know? Feeling a little sick, but that's fine.
Now, that Celtics game will get you feeling much better, won't it? Right away.
Hopefully.
As long as Bam Adebayo doesn't set, you know, some sort of weird screen and Kristaps Porzingis can make a couple buckets, we should be okay. We're going to go A to Z today. I don't know if there are any teams that begin with Z. I assume Commanders are probably the last one. So we'll go Arizona to Washington in that order. And starting off with Arizona, Connor, what did you think of their draft? I thought it was pretty good. You know, it didn't really make any bad picks. Yeah.
They got great guys. They filled out the roster well. You know, you added potentially three DBs that will start right away. Obviously, there's competition with Garrett Williams of last year, but they had a starting slot DB plus two very well-tested ones. They added, obviously, Marvin Harrison and Trey Benson and Tip Ryman to that offensive core. I thought Da'Dreon Taylor-Dermison was a really good pick, and he fell all the way to 104, maybe close to one of the best pure slots in the draft. Darius Robinson, some people thought it was high, but I did like Darius Robinson. I definitely thought he was an intriguing guy. The production wasn't there, but
yeah, and
that
final
year made you really, really think you had something there.
Yeah, they also needed someone on that defensive line. You know, listen, it's always tough to – the Cardinals are kind of a team in a kind of a weird position, and they have been for a few years because their quarterback play has been good but not great, and they've had so many different –
injury prone, too.
Right, and they've had so many guys kind of come in and out of that wide receiver room of that, just so many guys in and out of Arizona over the past few years. I feel like they've kind of lost that identity that they might have had, you know, back when Carson Palmer was on the team. They kind of had him, Larry Fitz, and just guys like that where they had more of an identity, and now it feels like it's been more in flux. It's like, okay, but Kyler's here, but he's been injured, and now we have a new head coach, so we'll see how it works. But overall, felt pretty good. Connor didn't feel like they missed really any picks.
No, I think you got good talent across the board, and you're really doing well to set yourself up in a good spot to maybe compete for a wild card spot.
Yeah, potentially. All right, let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons. Connor, probably the most controversial pick this year and in the past, you know, few years of the draft.
And sometimes when you have a rough pick at the top, it kind of, you can kind of redeem it a little bit. I think the Commanders redeemed taking Jaden Daniels over. We had from very last taking Jaden Daniels over Drake May, even though I thought it was a horrible decision. They redeemed that. The Falcons didn't redeem their wild Michael Penix pick.
No. I mean, listen, I do like Rook Ahoraho. I think, like, he like they needed to draft.
I thought that was a big reach, though. I mean, you had
that's true.
You had Johnny Newton on the board there.
That's true, but they needed more of an edge guy. They needed more of an edge guy. Newton is more of an inside guy.
I think my favorite player they took was probably Brandon Doyless. I think he was probably the best defensive lineman they took. They got him in the fourth round, and with their day two picks, they took two defensive linemen that I don't love. Braylon Trice, I think, is awful.
But let's get to the, you know, the star of the show. Listen, obviously we went over this on the draft stream, and it's all up there. My reaction's there. Connor's, I actually was watching it earlier today because Connor, I mean, you had an all-time reaction. I had, you know, just disappointment and sadness all over my face. But Listen, I understand the argument that people will make. Oh, you know, they're setting up for the future. I understand that. At the same time, you know, Atlanta at this point, right, obviously, it's not just the pick, but it's also how they went about it, right? If you're going to draft a quarterback, okay, fine, draft a quarterback. No one's saying you can't do that, right? They're obviously trying to copy the Green Bay Packers Jordan Love strategy, which thus far seems like it might work out again. That's fine, but you shouldn't have to explain to the owner of the team why you drafted the player. And the guy that you just signed for a boatload of money, by the way, a lot of it guaranteed, should not be kept in the dark really about what's going on. I mean, you should just tell him. If you're going to pick a quarterback, just tell him you're going to pick a quarterback. It's that simple. Now, as for the pick, Michael Penix, listen, I disagree. And that's because I'm more of a Kirk Cousins fan. I'm rooting for him. And so obviously this is going to impact his future with the team. I think that there were big needs that they needed to fill that they could have filled with this pick. And if they were really dead set on Michael Penix, I still feel like they could have traded back. They didn't really have to take him at 8, which I know Connery might disagree with. I think they could have, I mean, whether it's 5 spots, 10 spots.
They weren't getting, Michael Penix was off the board if they ever yeah. moved back. 3 teams try to trade up.
But Connor, what's your take on the Penix pick? I mean, it just feels kind of out of place, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't understand it. It seemed like there's some discourse between owner wanting to go in and potentially win a decently weak division with Kirk Cousins, and maybe the front office instead thinking, hey, let's build up. I think in other situations, you could see this as being a good pick to have. If Kirk Cousins was in year 2 or 3 of that deal, sure.
Right.
But I just don't. And he's an older player. Even if it was J.J. McCarthy, well, I think Penix is a better player. J.J. McCarthy is like 3 years younger.
Yeah, that's the other thing, right?
Prospects in this draft.
So Michael Penix, right, because if Kirk takes 2 years, just, you know, Kirk, let's say he's going to start for 2 years, because I don't think that Penix will start this year or next year, unless Kirk looks, you know, miserable. But even if he does, like, what are you going to do then? You're not going to be a playoff team if Kirk isn't looking good. But what, let's say Penix starts when he's 26. I mean, that's an old quarterback. I mean, that's most guys who have been in the league for a few years by that point who have played a lot of games. And that's, you know, probably the best case scenario. If Kirk plays the full 4 years, I mean, I think this is one pick that, you know, we're going to look, and it could make the Falcons look even worse. Even if Penix turns out well, it's still kind of a weird pick at this point. So
and
we'll
one
see.
Of the big things that also in their just draft in general, they didn't get a cornerback.
No.
They still do not have a cornerback to pair with Terrell. Clark Phillips, he's a slot. D. Alford, Mike Hughes, like, who is your cornerback to? You had 7-8 picks to try to get one, and you picked like 4 edge rushers.
Yeah, and I really dislike the argument of, oh, you know, there's no quarterbacks in next year's class or whatever, the quarterback after that, you know, we have to draft a guy now. Like, guys come out of nowhere. Like, guys have good seasons and then declared for the draft.
Which was Michael Penix.
Exactly. So I don't understand why there needs to be right now, right now, right now. I understand that the quarterback class for next year looks weak, which it's very possible that it stays that way. But the quarterback class isn't going to be a big zero for the next 8 years. Like, there are going to be guys who are going to be good in the next 4 or 5 years who you can draft. This, again,
2026 is an interesting class. Moore, Malachi Nelson, Arch Manning.
Maybe Arch Manning. Like, we'll see. We'll see about that. But, yeah. All right, Connor, let's move on to Baltimore. A draft that really, you know, just because they didn't really have a high pick, didn't really get a lot of attention. Overall, I think there were a lot of good, just good picks. Nothing really that's like crazy. Hey, this stands out. The Nate Wiggins pick at 30, I think it fits Baltimore. He's obviously, you know, going to need some work. He's going to need to learn how to play a little bit better because he's got the attributes of a really good cornerback, and he's obviously really fast, but he still needs quite a bit of work.
There's this thing that the Ravens and the Eagles, these are the two teams that do it, that I'm calling a media draft. If a player's dropping and your name will be kind of propped up as, wow, how did it fall to them? They will draft them in the past, like, five drafts, those front offices.
Right, they did the same thing with Kyle Hamilton, yeah.
That's another thing you saw out of the Ravens draft is if there's a guy that the media is much higher on than any of the executives, I'd say they did it with Trenton Simpson more, who many thought could be a first-round pick. I think Hugh Blue Kelly was another one that got a huge number of names and dropped to the fifth. People thought he could be a second. He's been cut, you know? So there's reasons that GMs draft, but they love to – maybe it's to keep their ownership happy. Oh, my God, I've heard of that guy. So you're all good here. David Ajabo a couple of years ago.
Right.
Niufaalele a couple of years ago. And it's another thing they did by taking – Adisa Isaac, who I don't really like as a prospect, but his name was big. He had a good combine. TJ Tampa, who dropped far, but there's injury concerns there as well as
But they had a lot of holes that they needed to fill after last season. You know, we'll see again. You know, NFL.com grades them at an A-. Connor, I think you and I are probably a little bit lower. It's just like there's not really any picks that I love. They did fill some needs, which is always nice to see. But, you know, we'll see how this one pans out in a few years. All right, let's talk about Buffalo. Connor, a couple trade backs out of the first round.
This is a rough draft.
It's just like you look at it and, you know, Cole Bishop at 60. Keon Coleman, you know.
Hated that pick.
It's just like, he's not, I don't know. I mean, he's not.
Horrible combine.
Right, and he's not going to be, I mean, they still are missing a wide receiver one. Right?
They had a really good day three, like fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cedric Van Pan, I really like him. I think Ray Davis can be a solid contributor next to James Cook. I love Javon Solomon. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those first 2 days, I did not like their draft very much.
No, they don't really have any players that kind of jump out at you. And again, it's you know, Buffalo feels to me like a team that they needed to replace some of those big names, right? They needed to. Because that offense now, you know, who's your wide receiver one? I don't know.
Cole Bishop was a shocker to me, too. I knew they need a safety since they got rid of two in the offseason.
Right. I mean, they got rid of Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. They need.
Like there's significantly better safeties still on the board.
Right. And Dwayne Carter, I just don't know if that defensive tackle was the place where they needed to beef up, you know, at 95. There were other places they could have gone. You know, listen, good depth picks, but listen, those guys at the top, just it's going to be an interesting to see how this roster makes up, you know, come the start of the season, Connor, just because I have no idea how it's going to look. Who is going to play? No Stephon Diggs, no Gabe Davis. I mean, those are your 1-2 guys last year. I mean, is it Kincaid and Keon Coleman? Because that is a far cry from what you had last year, I think. A big drop. So, we'll see. All right, Connor, Carolina Panthers, basically. Listen, Xavier Leggett basically told everyone he was going to Carolina, and no surprise, he went to Carolina. But
which was a reach anyways in its own right,
based right.
on his production. The big thing that I just look at this draft and I'm like, how the hell do you not take a lineman?
I don't know. There's no lineman. I mean, and they use their second round pick on Jonathan Brooks. It's like, okay.
Off an ACL tear.
Right, but you already have Miles Sanders, and isn't Chuba Hubbard still there? Yeah, I don't understand why you're taking a running back in the second round. Like, okay, maybe it's good value, but the offensive line on this team, I mean, is Ike Mukwonu still even – is he going to be a starter this year, or is he off the team? I think he's still on the team, but he's not very good. Let's see. I mean, Connor, I mean, they needed a lineman, for real. I mean, this team could not block last year, right? So how can we even grade this draft above a C? I'm not sure. We're going to take a short break just because we're at the middle of the episode and we have a long way to go. We're going to put the whole second half of the episode at all as one. So we're going to be right back. Thank you for listening and keep listening. And welcome back. We actually kind of stopped at a great time because we get to talk about the Chicago Bears. Connor, for a team that only had 5 picks in the draft, feels like they did pretty damn good.
I don't get the punter if you only have 5 picks, personally.
That makes sense.
For the punter, I think it was. I think Austin Booker was a bit of a reach. They had to give up a 4th-round pick next year to take him there. Don't love that. I mean, you could have traded down at the punter spot and maybe got both and not had to give up the next year pick. I don't know. But, yeah, that day one, day two were great. I think Caleb Williams, obviously the right pick, no matter what. Then Romo Dunes was the obvious pick. He'd been working out with the guy.
Yeah, especially given what had happened. The pick before kind of left the door wide open. And listen, I already said this, and Connor and I are different, you know, have different opinions about Rome and about his, you know, future talent and everything like that. But for a wide receiver 3 on a team, like, he is for a wide receiver 3, Rome is like, that is really, really good. I mean, you look at the offense now and you're like, all right, running backs, they got that. They got the quarterback. They have Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Rome as 1, 2, and 3. 3 wide receivers, by the way, can do 3 different things. They're very talented in their own ways. Offensive line is improving. And the defense, you know, especially with Montez Sweat, that's who they signed, traded for last year. And they re-signed that cornerback who for Javon. Forget his last name, but or Jace or Jackson, something like that. Anyways, to me, the Bears next year, if they don't win 11 games, it's either because of one of 3 things: a lot of injuries, very poor coaching, or Caleb Williams. I mean, those are really the only 3 things. Because this roster, if you look at it, looks to me like one of the better rosters in the league. Period.
I do think there are questions still on that O-line. I assume Emechichi's going to try to play one of the guard spots for them, potentially, with Braxton Jones outside, or be a swing tackle. Obviously, they've taken a few tackles that necessarily didn't work out. I mean, Tevin Jenkins, obviously, he was supposed to be good for that. I think that was a first-round pick.
I think he was, yeah.
Basically had to move inside to guard. Hasn't been great there and has been injury prone there. And I don't know if you trust Nate Davis to start again. So I think there's definitely concerns if Braxton Jones can be a left tackle. I don't know if Emechichi can take that spot either. And if he moves inside, who's being kicked out of that? I think your left side's pretty secure, but I think your right side's pretty secure, but I think there's a ton of questions on the left side of that line. I would have liked them to maybe tackle a more built target, a more built tackle, instead of someone that may have to move in a guard when you do have questions on if Braxton Jones can right. be that guy at left tackle.
Absolutely. All right, Carl, let's move on to Cincy. You know, Cincy's got a lot of problems right now. Obviously, T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson have both requested trades, which, I mean, those are 2 significant players on this Bengals team. And you combine that with Joe Burrow just not being very healthy throughout the course of his career, Cincinnati's got problems. And what did you think of the Amarius Mims pick? Like, I know some people loved it. I know some people hated it.
I know he didn't get a ton of reps. He had a couple. He had the ankle injury, and he hasn't played a ton. But, man, was he good when he was on. Like, he was phenomenal when he was on the field. I think he can be a decade-long starter at both of the tackle spots. I think he can play either. He has the size, the athleticism to play either. You know, I think this was a good draft and filling needed holes for them. I love the Chris Jenkins pick. I think he's a great DJ Reader replacement. And then McKinley Jackson also on day two. I think both of those guys can be really good on that inside. McKinley Jackson had a rough combine, I know. I'm not too sold on Jermaine Burton. I think that was a pretty heavy reach. I think most people had him fourth, fifth round. But overall, I think they did a good job with their draft and filling some holes. And I think they're going to try to hold on to both of those guys.
Right.
Would be my guess.
I would expect so, too. And again, the biggest question for Cincy, outside of Joe Burrow being healthy, is can they protect him? And if Mims can stay healthy, which it strongly seems like he could, he could be a very good player for an offensive line, Connor, that needs someone like him. They need someone like him. They've been trying to solve it for 5 seasons, and they just haven't been able to do it. All right, Connor, let's move on to Cleveland. Not really a lot of picks.
Didn't do much with the picks either.
Yeah, didn't really have anything going on. Michael Hall Jr., defensive tackle with their first selection.
I mean, that's a high upside pick, you could say, just based on the kind of freakish athleticism. But, man, he was not good for Ohio State.
Then they have Zach.
Yeah. A 300-pounder that can run a 4.7.
Then they have Zach Zinter, a guard at 85, so trying to beef up that offensive line. They selected Jamari.
There were better guards on the board for sure there.
Yeah. Jamari Thrash out of Louisville. Nathaniel Watson, Miles Harden, Jawan Briggs. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Also, they have 2 starting guards.
Right. Maybe for depth, I'm not really sure.
He's off of a leg. I feel like with one of your premier picks, one of your only day two picks, right, you have, I feel like you've got to have a higher impact guy there.
Yeah, listen, basically, I mean, this draft, really, let's be honest, Connor, is not going to have a big impact on the Browns this season.
Right? I don't think it's supposed to. I don't know if
there's no way it can.
Thinking that they may have to head into rebuild because of how bad the Deshaun contract is, or they just didn't see anyone that'll bring big impact early.
But, right.
No one they drafted, at least, especially in day two, really seems like a pick that's supposed to be an impact player year one. Seems like these are high potential guys.
Yeah, all right, let's move on to Dallas, Connor. Dallas took a very interesting strategy. Their first 3 picks were all guys who were going to play on the line of scrimmage this coming season. They took Tyler Guyton at 29.
I don't think they were very good.
They took Marshawn Kneeland and then Cooper Beebe. But Tyler Guyton wasn't really ranked that highly. I mean, going into the draft.
Tyler Guyton is extremely raw. He was very much an athleticism kind of first, a high upside. But he, for a team that you'd think wants to compete, he is extremely raw right now. And it'll be interesting to see.
Is he their Tyron Smith replacement?
He has to be, but those are really hard shoes to fill.
Listen, Tyron Smith's been one of the best left tackles in the NFL over the past, 8-10 years. And listen, when he's been off the field for the Cowboys, Connor, it's been really rough. And with Dak, kind of decreased mobility post-injury, listen, it's going to be an interesting season. Listen, Connor, NFL.com gives him an A-. Maybe that's because of, they got guys who...
I mean, it's a raw draft in general. It's another kind of... Tyler Guyton's upside guy. Marshawn Leland's the definition of an upside guy. He didn't produce well at Western Michigan, but his combine was phenomenal. Upa Bibi has no balance and has short arms. Don't love that from my guard. I did like their day three picks. I guess he's a day two pick. Leofau, I think that's a good add.
Probably their Van Der Esch, one of the guys who replaced Van Der Esch this upcoming season.
I think they took him a bit earlier than expected, but I did like him a lot. As a whole, it's another kind of draft I can't get behind for their team because it feels like they should be trying to compete right now before they have to make a decision on Dak Prescott's new contract.
Which I think we all know means they're going to pay him a boatload of money. So
probably, but maybe this is, hey, we're going to see what you can do right now with some higher upside guys. And Dak, if you can't produce, we'll have our answer. And we're going to semi-rebuild, like retooling without you.
Mm-hmm.
I think a very risky picks in day one and two.
All right, let's talk about Denver. Connor, they got Bo Nix. Denver's such a confusing team for me because – okay, great. You go from having the worst quarterback in the division to the second worst quarterback in the division, right?
Still, he's not better than Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, I mean, this is my question with – I think that Bo Nix is – I mean, listen, I think he'll be serviceable. He's played it long enough in college where he should get right to the NFL and kind of understand how to manage a playbook and run games. I mean, he's played in college, Connor, for 5 years. He's been in college forever. But I don't really understand Denver's direction. Do they expect Bo Nix?
I'm glad you traded your second-round pick this year for Sean Payton.
Yeah. I don't really understand.
I get the idea of pairing Bo Nix with a familiar face in Troy Franklin.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think Troy Franklin's very good.
I know you were going to say that, and to a certain extent, I do agree. But I also think at pick 102, I'm not really finding too many problems with picking him there, just because I think he was at a more of a early third-round grade compared to where he was. So I don't mind the Troy Franklin pick. I actually like them matching those two up, but for me, it's not like it's going to make a big difference. I think Denver is going to be Denver. They're not a great defensive team, right, because they're still losing guys. Offensively, they're mediocre. And unless Bo Nix really is something, which Sean Payton was trying to convince everyone, oh, I don't really like Bo Nix. I mean, listen, did he sound stupid saying that or what, by the way?
Is quote-unquote baiting the Vikings to trade up one pick for the developmental guy to take an older guy that's not as good. It was just I
don't really follow.
Sean Payton has come off horribly since he's gotten to Denver.
Yeah, honestly, Denver.
The Audric Esteem pick though. Shout out Audric Esteem.
I think it'll be another great year for Denver at the bottom of the AFC West. All right, let's talk about Detroit. Connor, listen. I like Detroit's draft. I think that Terrion Arnold at 24 was a great pick.
I like the Terrion Arnold pick.
I didn't get
the Ennis Franks draw.
Fair enough. But I do think Terrion Arnold for me, listen, I think, I think you and I had discussions, maybe was he the best or was he the second best guy between Quinion Mitchell and him. But I would say Arnold was the more NFL-ready guy of the two, right? He was the more... plug in place, which is exactly what Detroit needed. They needed someone who can play on the outside, who can be physical, who can play one-on-one. And I think Arnold's that guy. Will he be the most talented guy a few years down the road? Maybe. It's possible. Right, cornerback out of this class. But I think he'll be a very solid option for a few years to come. And, you know, I don't know about Rakeshaw too much. But again,
I think their game plan, if I were to guess, would be Branch out of the slot where he was last year and back to more of a safety, taking the place of Gardner Johnson. And then moving Rakeshaw into the slot corner spot. I could also see them taking Etem Melifonwu or Sione Vaki, who they took in the third day, as more of that strong safety and keeping Branch in, and then having Rakeshaw and Arnold kind of compete for that starting CB2 role, both as rookies. You know, obviously, I think the big thing that jumped out to me is they re-signed Emmanuel Mosley, who I know was injured all of last year, but I was just thinking that you were hoping that he could be a starting caliber slot like he was for San Francisco.
Right. No, I mean, listen, I don't necessarily know if Detroit had a fantastic draft, but they also answered so many questions and they didn't really have a lot of picks. They did a lot of good work in free agency and then they only had 6 picks through the draft. And
I do love the Christian Mahogany pick. I'm shocked he fell that far.
Hey, man, Boston College guy.
But,
listen, for a seventh rounder, he could, you know, make the team and be a good rotation piece for, you know.
They took some risks. I mean, that day fee, they traded up for both Giovanni Manu, who most thought would go undrafted, this humongous British Columbia draft pick, kind of just complete.
Yeah, 6'7", 350. So,
I mean, he's you need 2 years, and they have a great line, so you need 2 years to develop him. And then Sione Vaki, a running back safety hybrid. it was just an odd draft, but hey, he can. I mean, with how the draft went last year, about people talking down the Lions draft.
Right, Jameer Gibbs, absolutely. Not you.
On the Lions draft, and then it being really phenomenal, he can take his heat checks.
Yeah.
Draft picks and see what happens.
Absolutely. Connor, let's talk about Green Bay. And everyone was on them about the Jordan Morgan pick, which, listen, I understand, but I don't think it was that bad of a pick, quite honestly.
Dislike the Packers draft in general. I Jordan Morgan had a great combine. You know, I had him round 2 graded, but he came back well after an ACL tear. You know, you look at that USC game, the film from that game, it's very interesting.
And listen, they needed someone to play in place of David Bakhtiari. Right? So I assume Morgan plays on the left, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't.
He is left tackle.
I like the pick. I like the Edgerrin Cooper. I think they need a good linebacker like him who will hopefully pan out.
You're looking at this team and you're expecting them to pass the ball a lot, I think, because Morgan struggles mentally in the run. Yeah, I love the Edgerrin Cooper pick. In the box, he's phenomenal. He's great speed, great range. We'll see how he translates to a traditional linebacker rather than A&M's kind of box setup.
Right.
But, you know, I like that. Don't mind Bullard. They obviously needed a running back a bit because AJ Dillon just bad as an RB2.
Right, and Jacobs is injury prone.
Injury prone. So I don't mind Marshawn Lloyd that much. He's also a great pass catcher. So there's your off tempo, you pass catching third down back.
Yeah.
You know, and then a lot of shots on different guys late in rounds that you hope can work out.
And including Michael Pratt, by the way, from Tulane. I'll be interesting pick. I mean, obviously, like late round,
Matt's a psycho.
Yeah, but listen.
Guys, I love it.
He's a fun player to watch at Tulane. All right, Carl, let's talk about the Texans. Get another team here without a first-round pick. You know, I don't really recognize a ton of these names. I do recognize Cade Stover, Blake Fisher.
Yeah, I think they had a good draft overall. I think Kamari Lasseterre was heavily expected to be a first-round pick. I know he had a rough combine, but I think there was a ton of talk that I was hearing that he could take a jump to the first round. I think getting him in the second is good. I think D'Amico Ryans will have him in this have him in this great kind of physical, this press man corner look that he likes to give, and Stingley's obviously great. So you got a good, interesting quarterback duo there. I don't love Blake Fisher, but I assume he's not expected to start. I mean, it's a second-round pick, but I assume he's not expected to start immediately here. I'd be somewhat surprised. Let's see what ESPN has their depth chart. Yeah, they're still expecting Titus Howard to keep his spot on the right. I know there have been conversations because Kenyon Green was pretty rough if they'd moved Titus Howard inside. But it seems like the plan is to develop him, which I think is solid. I did like the Cade Stover pick. You know, tight ends were going off faster than I expected in that kind of third round. I think he's one of the better ones in this draft. Catch first guy for sure. Like the Solomon Bird pick. He had a rough combine, which kind of dropped him, but I always liked him and liked his film. I think Bullock was a interesting pick. I don't know what the right pick there for safety was. He was not very good at USC this season, but he had a much better season last year, and even the year before. I think his rookie season, he was phenomenal. You can see the idea behind him, but it'll be interesting to see what he does. I liked their idea of trading out of 23 and getting a lot of picks, as well as a second rounder next year in a deeper position player draft.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, Texans, another team that filled a lot of their needs in free agency. Danielle Hunter, Stephon Diggs. So not as much needed to be done with the Texans. I think a lot of people have expect them to be, you know, one of the teams contending in the AFC next year.
Also a reminder that Cade Stover had his best season with
CJ Stroud.
Quarterback.
And they re-signed Dalton Schultz? Did they let him go? I think they re-signed him.
They tagged Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, so now they got...
I don't know if he got an extension. But
I mean, listen, sure. Five guys on that offense who...
If Cade Stover didn't get hurt in that Georgia game, that super crazy Ohio State-Georgia game, CJ Stroud's last game, that semifinal, they could have won that.
Absolutely. All right. Let's talk about the Colts, a sore spot for Connor because they took the guy that he wanted. Connor, I already know you're going to love their first-round pick with Laiatu Latu.
I'm super big on Latu. He was the best, by far, the best pass rusher in the class. Rapp ended up tweeting out that he was fully cleared medically and it wasn't a concern, which makes sense why he went as the first edge rusher in the class. That being said, I did not love the rest of their draft. You know, they got good value on Mitchell, but I was one of those guys who was saying I agree that he should have dropped. It's one of those things where I thought that he should have dropped. You know, I think he's an interesting pair with Pittman. But I don't know how well how good he would be just in the NFL in general. And I did not like their Matt Gunkow's pick. I just don't know where he even ends up on that line whatsoever. And was out basically all season last year. And they have two quite good tackles right now. That you don't think he's, I mean, he's not Bernard Raymond. You just used a third round pick on, and he had a solid year. And Braden Smith, you're obviously not going to get rid of here. So I don't know where he fits whatsoever. Even Blake Freeland, you have as a backup. That's more interesting. I did like their pick of Bartolini. I thought he dropped further than expected.
Right, and a team that probably needed a center too in the Colts. Overall, listen, love their first round pick. Again, you know, good depth, good work. Obviously, I think, you know, if you're going to go offensive line, I mean, I think that's probably one of the positions where you need the most amount of depth. Guys get injured. So maybe I don't have as much of a problem as Connor does. Overall, I like Indy. They're still a little ways away. Obviously, they need Anthony Richardson to stay healthy, but, you know, progressing nicely. All right, final team before another break. We'll talk about Jacksonville. Connor, listen, thought they did pretty decent. I mean, outside of Omar Khan, was it Omar Khan or was it his son wearing the neck brace? It was his son, yeah, wearing a neck brace after what, the AEW or WrestleMania or whatever.
Funny little stick there.
Anyways, but they took two LSU guys in the first and then second round, Brian Thomas Jr., Mason Smith. Connor, overall, I thought it was okay. Thought they did some good work, but they definitely, I feel like they needed more offensive line talent.
I don't mind their draft at all. I like the Brian Thomas pick. I think he's a great Ridley replacement. I liked Mason Smith. I like Jerrion Jones. I just thought they had a good, solid draft where they picked kind of the right guys everywhere.
And they drafted a kicker, Cam Little, out of Arkansas. So
was he first or second kicker off the board?
I don't know. But he was first team all SEC.
There you go.
33 for 33 on extra points, 20 for 24 on field goals, 4 for 5 on 50 plus yarders with a long of 56. So, you know, he's got a big leg, make a lot of long kicks, and makes those extra points. So, and especially with the new kickoff rules, you know, him also being a kickoff guy, I think will also be important. Connor, any final comments before we take another quick break? Connor?
On the Jaguars?
Yes.
No, I mean, I think it really worked out well for them. I think, yeah, the tackles are definitely a concern. I'm very interested in Keylon Robinson with the new kickoff rules there. I think he was fifth round, maybe sixth round pick. I think he's very interesting with the new kickoff rules.
Right. No, absolutely. 100% agree. All right. Let's take a short break, and we'll be right back. All right. We're back. Let's talk about the Chiefs. Connor, they took the fastest guy in the draft with their 28th overall pick, Xavier Worthy, likely their Rashee Rice replacement. What are your thoughts on the pick?
Yeah, I mean, you know that team with speed, and Andy Reid's going to do wonders with him. You know, I didn't love him in general, but going to Andy Reid, you know, I'll trust him with the speed guys expeditiously. You know, I have nothing but faith that Xavier Worthy will end up very good as long as he can hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
With Andy Reid's just genius brain.
Absolutely. Connor, what about the rest of their draft? I mean,
yeah, I think
not bad.
Amazed that Kingsley Suamataya fell to 63. I had him going to them in the first round in my latest mock before the draft. I thought he was their first round pick, not that he'd get down the second. I love Jared Wiley. I think he's awesome. One of my favorite tight ends in the draft. He had a great combine, very Sam Laporta-esque. You know, I think Jaden Hicks, you know, these past few years, you keep seeing and taking these athletic corners in the fourth round, Lejarius Sneed, Kamari Connor. It's another guy that could make a big impact. I did love Hunter Norzad. I think he moves interior. He had a good combine. I think he's probably, you're thinking, I mean, he started when he was with Cornell. He was a tackle, and then he went to guard and center with Penn State. I think you're definitely looking at a very flexible guy. Ohio State film is not good. I think they figured him out a bit, but you know, you're not starting right away. You got a year to kind of mold this kid. Overall, you know, Chiefs had a great draft.
Yeah, seems like they do every year. If only their owner could pay a little bit more money to, I don't know, improve that locker room a little bit, maybe they would attract more talent. But they did re-sign Chris Jones, so I guess that's something. All right, Colin, let's talk about Vegas. I guess Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers will be having a lot of fun in the tight end room this year, right?
Yeah, it was an interesting pick. I mean, I guess best player available was the idea on a couple of these. I just didn't love the draft as a whole. I thought it was a little bit below average. I don't get Brock Bowers. I think, yes, best player available is important, but not at a non-premier position.
Mm-hmm. I mean, unless they try to turn him into wide receiver, but even then, the question then becomes, okay, who's throwing Brock Bowers the football, though? Like, is it going to be Gardner Minshew? And if so, I mean, all right, but still need some work to be done on that, don't they? In that area of the game. Connor? Okay, I lost Connor for a second. He'll join me back when he can. Then they took guard Jackson Powers Johnson, who Connor, I believe, told me exactly these words. He'll be great for the 2 years he can play. Simply just meaning he will get injured. DJ Glaze, DeCamrion Richardson, Tommy Eichenberg, Dylan Loeb, Trey Taylor from Air Force, and MJ Devonshire. Listen, they took two guard, a tackle, then they took three total DBs in the draft. Eichenberg was a linebacker. You know, listen, not a bad draft from the Raiders, but it's hard to see this as a very good draft because, again, missing out on a quarterback was key. They did get some defensive backs, but not until pick 112. So that secondary is still going to be pretty rough. Defensive line should be fine in terms of the edge guys and the interior guys that they have. But overall, I don't know. It's not like Las Vegas did that great of a job, at least in my opinion. I think that Vegas, you know, definitely needed some significant work. Needed some more help, and I don't think that they did enough to get that done in the draft. So, hard to say, but for me, not a great draft. When Connor is back, he'll rejoin us, but we're going to continue just with me, myself, and I, talking about the Chargers, and they took Joe Ault at 5 overall, and seems like he's going to be a great pick. Seems to me like Joe Ault is going to be that type of guy because, quite honestly, Joe Ault when he got up there, he is massive. He's going to be a great tackle for this team. And besides that, they were able to grab Ladd McConkey at 34, a guy who I'm very excited about, a guy who I wish the Patriots had gotten in the draft, but the Chargers drafted, traded up to get Ladd McConkey with the Patriots, and I thought it was a great pick. I'm a big fan of Ladd. I think he'll be a nice safety valve for Justin Herbert, and also a guy who can catch the balls across the middle of the field, very fast, and a very hard worker. Then they took linebacker Junior Colson, again, another depth piece. This is a very interesting draft for the Chargers. They went line, wide receiver, but then they took some guys in the defensive side of the football, really trying to find some sort of identity. But then they went running back, wide receiver to finish it off. Connor, I was just talking about the Chargers.
Yeah, not a fan.
You are not a fan. I like their first two picks. I don't really know too much about.
Hate Ladd McConkey.
I love Ladd McConkey.
I don't care how good his combine was. He wasn't good at school. You know, I'm not drafting wide receivers just on combat. He's a worse Elijah Moore. So, there you go. Can't beat press. A lot of injuries. Didn't have great production. Dropped a ton of balls. What the Chargers need, more the most drop-heavy receiver in the draft. maybe they draft him just for return man. That might have been it, because there's not much else here. He's not great. He's just not very good.
What about the rest of the picks?
You know, Alt was a fine pick. I think Junior Colson went much higher than I expected. This was a draft solely based on combine only. This is all the Chargers front office. New front office? Might be new front office. It's all they looked at. They reached on nearly everybody. You know, I mean, they did get a better receiver than Ladd McConkey in the seventh. So there's that. I actually liked Cornelius Johnson going in. There was a guy that also had a pretty solid combine. But yeah, this is one of those, I don't know, a Gruden draft. That's what I'd call this. Guys he randomly falls in love with at the combine. And overdrafts heavily. It's a very Gruden draft.
All right, let's talk about the next team, the Los Angeles Rams. Hated Jared Verse. Hated that pick. Hated it. I think might have been one of the worst non-talked about picks in the first round, Connor. Hated Jared Verse.
I didn't mind Jared Verse whatsoever.
Yeah, okay. You know. But during the draft, you're saying, I don't like Jared Verse, but now you're just going to...
I didn't like him, but he was third. He was third defensive end off the board. That's where I had him.
Fair. But still, I think...
It's a round one projection. I think the size is a concern, but what happened when they took an undersized DT, he became the best defender in NFL history.
That's true, but...
So maybe the undersized edge works the same way. I think he's good against bigger guys.
Yeah, but he only has one move. He only...
Super twitchy.
I do like Braden Fisk. I do like him. I like Fisk.
Fisk had a phenomenal combine.
He was elite.
Very, very good.
I do like the Blake Corum pick. Again,
I don't get it at all.
What?
I don't get it. You just used... Was Ronnie Rivers a third rounder last year?
I don't know.
Plus, Kevin Williams had a phenomenal year. You know, I don't get it personally. Maybe it's mostly... I guess it's mostly injury insurance when Kevin gets... inevitably hurt. But I like the Cameron Kitchens pick. They got, I think, the second kicker off the board.
Yep.
You know.
Overall, pretty solid.
I got the first kicker.
Overall,
I like the late lineman they got. Solid.
Yeah, kicker. I'm just not a fan of Jared Verse. I just don't think he's going to be very good. All right, Connor, I know you're not going to like the Miami Dolphins draft, so do you even...
I mean, I don't like Chop Robinson, but the rest of the draft, I don't. I liked Patrick Paul a lot. You know, he, looking over some stuff with him, I think it was a good pick. They needed a tackle. I just think for a team that is setting up to be run heavy and trick play heavy, you could have went a run blocking tackle rather than a full pass pro guy. Jalen Wright didn't make much sense to me, but I guess you think that a chain can't get a big workload without getting hurt. So you grab a guy that can hopefully be the workload back after Mostert, and you can use all three in tandem, or obviously your first two are injury prone, you write his backup. I don't hate that as much as I did when he just got drafted. Muhammad Kamara is, I liked him. I'm not really sure if he's going to be an edge or an outside linebacker. I think he's more likely to be on the line, despite him getting drafted as a linebacker, I think they said. But I think that was a need more so. I think he might be better than Chop Robinson, you know? Already.
Chop's pretty bad.
Robinson did not produce anything in college. He got no sacks.
He's pretty bad. He is
Joe Tryon-Trayanka. And as a person whose team took Joe Tryon-Trayanka, it's not a good thing.
No, it's not. All right, let's talk about Minnesota. Connor, J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner in the first round.
I think
they did fine.
I think they did fine. I don't like how much they gave up to trade up for either. I guess their day three pick, their other day three pick was Hockenson. I mean, day two pick was Hockenson, was basically where their mid-round picks went. And then they traded up twice to get first 23 from the Texans and use that to get up to Turner. There's a lot given up to end up with these two guys. But I love the Tyrese Jaxey pick. Rest of the draft was kind of a wash a little bit. We had another kicker go, so three kickers.
I actually do.
Cam Little first in my kicker rankings.
I like Will Reichert, actually. He set a bunch of records, I think, for Alabama. And, you know, listen, Greg Joseph's had a couple solid years, but I honestly think Riker's going to beat him out. I think Riker probably is more accurate. And I think that's probably what they're looking for rather than a guy who, you know, it's like Greg Joseph. So, you know, we'll see. I like Riker though. I like the pick and, I hope it beats him out. All right, Connor, the Patriots. Listen, Drake May, perfect guy to get at three. No complaints.
They took the right guys in the right spot.
Yeah, I listen.
Drake May, like, more so them making an amazing pick, I think, was more on not having the Commanders make a good pick.
Right.
I think getting Drake May at three is great. I think Polk plus getting extra picks at 37 is good. Ken Wallace is an interesting one. I don't know if I trust him to play left tackle, but that is what they said. They said, we view him as a left tackle, I think, is what Wolf said. And then they got some higher upside guys late. Tron Baker is an athletic freak. Joe Milton is maybe the strongest arm I've ever seen, even if he doesn't turn out to be anything.
I was telling my friend, I'm like, Joe Milton's not even going to make the roster. Like, he might make the practice squad.
Marcellus Dial had maybe one of the worst combines you can have, but he had a pretty damn good year at South Carolina. Definitely face guards a lot, and isn't a great run supporter, so don't know, but at least the Bill Belichick was always able to develop cornerbacks. Not sure how that cornerback development is going to be now, though.
Yeah. All right, Connor and I are just going to speed this up just a little bit, just to make sure we get through all these teams. All right, Connor, the Saints, Fuaga, and then McKinstry.
Interesting one. Yeah. I love it. don't love McKinstry there. I just don't love McKinstry. They had no picks in between either, so they spent a lot to get up to McKinstry. I think Fuaga is a good pick. Rattler is definitely a good pick because, good God, did Derek Carr look bad last year, and I actually liked Rattler.
Yeah, high upside guy, too.
Bob Means is a sick name, even though I did not have him on my board. So shout out to him for having a sick name. But, you know, interesting to use a fourth-round pick on a QB 1 year than use your fifth-round pick when you didn't have a third or fourth on a QB the next year. I just find that odd. Maybe they just really didn't like Jake Haener after taking him. I don't know.
All right, let's talk about the Giants, Connor. Malik Nabers, I think you and I are both in agreement that we like this one.
Thank God they didn't pick like J.J. McCarthy here. You know, I don't like Daniel Jones, but good God, Malik Nabers was definitely the right pick.
Yep.
Tyler Newbin, you probably got the best safety in the draft.
Yeah, definitely the best safety in the best pure safety. Yeah.
Fairly poor combine.
There wasn't really much else.
Andrew Phillips, I liked. I thought he was interesting. He was definitely on my board for the Bucks to get another corner. And I thought he would have had a second round grade. The rest of the guys are kind of just interesting. A lot of tight ends went. I don't know much about Theo Johnson, but he had another great combine for a tight end. I think he was a top high school guy and kind of faltered in school, but yeah.
All right.
Solid draft.
The New York Jets, they took Olumiya Fashanu at 11, and then they took Malachi Corley.
I love the Malachi. I'm so high on Malachi Corley.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a packed wide receiver room. They got a lot of different guys there now, don't they?
I think this was a phenomenal trade. The Jets have drafted phenomenally in the past few years.
Yeah, by the way, I actually like the Jordan Travis pick a lot at 171. I think that's great value.
They definitely needed some sort of QB behind an old Rodgers, and Travis was great. Travis was on pace to potentially be a first-round pick before his injury, I feel like.
I agree.
Came back and gave some good athletic stats, you know, older, but definitely a guy that Aaron Rodgers can mold a bit. Braylon Allen, definitely a bigger back. I'm not sure really how we think he's going to get involved here, but they definitely needed a good running back too, I think.
Just a lot of depth, a lot of good guys, a lot of guys who can play right away, and a lot of guys who hopefully won't play this year.
Definitely still worrying about Olu Fashanu's hand size. I think that was the biggest thing. He had really, really small hands, and that's what caused him to go from this is potentially the first tackle off the board to more like people thought he could be the fourth, fifth. Don't know how much it really matters, but you know how NFL analytical offices are in what hand size, what arm size, all this stuff.
Yep.
We'll see how much it matters.
All right, let's talk about the Eagles, Connor, a team that needed to fix their cornerback room, and they definitely tried to do that.
Another complete media draft. Cooper DeJean, he prospects as a safety special teamer to me. They did not need a safety. They just re-signed a safety.
Yep.
They did not need a slot. They just re-signed their slot corner. They have like four cornerbacks. I don't know what you do with Cooper DeJean other than make him a return man, which he could be very good at, but I don't know what else you do. But I loved Quinion Mitchell. I thought they got great value on him dropping. I did not expect him to drop that far. Jalen Hunt was odd because he's off of a spine surgery into an ACL tear or whatever. I was amazed he went that high with all of the injuries he's had for a few years now. But, you know, overall, he was also a safety convert, so he's pretty damn small. Will Shipley, I didn't see the need. I think they still have Kenneth Gainwell back there. Obviously, Saquon's going to get 90%, but maybe Saquon gets
90% at minimum, too.
You have a lacrosse guy. Jeremiah Trotter hated. I got why people, why he was dropping. Everyone got why he was dropping, but casuals, because his combine was one of the worst things I've ever seen. But, you know, it's a media draft. You can go tell your owner, oh, my God, we got Jeremiah Trotter in the six. Everyone thought he'd be a second-round pick.
Yeah, the question is this going to improve the team? I think – I don't know. I'm not the biggest guy on Quinyon Mitchell. I don't know.
I think one thing you're adding to this draft is Isaiah Rodgers. They traded a pick from this draft to get Isaiah Rodgers, who was out all of last year. So it's basically his first year here. And I think if you add that, you got – two probably starting corners and him and Mitchell, plus Slay, plus the corpse of Bradbury, plus now like two to three slot guys, plus like four safeties, you know. They got everyone and their mothers and their grandmothers and their great-great-great-great-grandfathers in James Bradbury, who's about 205 now.
Yeah, they're definitely going to have a deep cornerback room after what happened last year. For sure.
They also traded out of their many fourth-round picks to get multiple like third-round picks next year, which I thought was good moves.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Pittsburgh, Connor. Listen, I actually like this draft a lot. I know it's not a flashy draft from Pittsburgh.
I thought this draft was phenomenal. This was my best draft.
But they did exactly what they needed to do. And as someone who's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, their offensive line for so many years has been so bad. And they went out there and they said we're going to draft Troy Fatanu and Zach Frazier with their first two picks, and then they got a guard, Mason McCormick, in the at pick 119. I love that. I think that's awesome. I love that. And by the way, I think that Roman Wilson, listen, is he like a stud? Is he, no, he's not any of the sorts.
I think he's a stud. He was my top slot in the draft.
But I think he fills, you know, listen, he's going to play very well with George Pickens, right, beside him. And so I think those two guys together will play very nicely off of each other. I love it. I'm never going to get mad at offensive lineman picks, an area of the team that the Steelers desperately need to improve, Connor.
I think Peyton Wilson is also a great pick. Much older, some injuries, not crazy athletic, but just the intangibles. And the play on the field was there. And if he can be healthy, that could be a steal of a pick.
Absolutely. All right, we still have plenty of time. All right, let's continue. San Francisco 49ers, Connor. A lot was made of that Ricky Pearsall pick. But Brandon Ayuk is still on the team. So, you know, if Ayuk is still on the team, you know, Pearsall, like, listen, maybe he gets an extra year to kind of study alongside Ayuk and then take over.
I mean, you still need a third wide receiver there. I don't want Juwan Jennings to be my wide receiver three for like a third year in a row. He's just not very good.
Right.
So I'm still fine with Ricky Pearsall getting in there, making an impact.
And he's an impact player too. He makes some tough catches.
That one-handed catch was just diving.
Yeah.
Anytime I hear that name, it just replays in my brain. Had a great combine too.
He did, but what did you think about the rest of their picks?
I'm shocked they did not take a D lineman whatsoever.
Yeah, they dropped Armstead and Young lost them both. Yeah. And it felt like the rest of their picks, like maybe Renardo Green, okay, getting some more depth for that secondary.
Green's a slot corner, which I thought was a good add. Could be moved to safety, depending on how Hufanga comes back. I liked Pooney. He's probably going to be a guide at the next level. But yeah, I was just shocked they didn't go D-lineman at all.
Not even one, Connor. Not for you. All right, the Seahawks. Connor, I love the Byron Murphy pick. I love that pick for them. They needed a guy like him on this team.
Yeah, Byron Murphy and Christian Hayes are two high-impact guys. I'm shocked Christian Hayes fell that much. I'm shocked Byron Murphy fell that much.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, his frame's already phenomenal. If you can bulk him up a bit more, he could be just unreal. Didn't love the Trace Knight pick. I thought that was a ways high for him, for sure. I think he was expected to be like a sixth rounder when got him in the fourth, right?
Yeah.
AJ Barner, I definitely liked. He didn't play much, but when he was on the field, you saw him do some crazy cool stuff that I think he can really make an impact for them.
Yeah, and again, this is a team that needed run help. They needed help in the run game. And they did that. And I actually like the guard pick. Again, those two parts of the football game for them, running the ball and stopping the run, have always been, not have always, but recently have been a struggle for them. So, good improvement. All right, Connor, Tampa Bay, we got three teams. We're going to do them in, got three teams in 4 minutes, Connor. So, let's get it going. I already know you love the Graham Barton pick, but what about the rest of the draft for Tampa Bay?
I think we had a great draft to get a starting edge to go next to probably rotational with Randy Gregory, who they signed, but to go across from Yaya Diaby, who had a phenomenal year. You get probably a starting slot slash rotational safety in Tyke Smith. He'll compete with Izzy in for the slot. Jalen McMillan, you get your slot guy. He's better than Trey Palmer. Make an immediate impact. You can get Godwin Moore down the field. Bucky Irving, I was not expecting. I don't have much on Bucky Irving, but the production was definitely there. Still worry about someone running down the middle, but hopefully Graham Barton can help just make room for those guys. And Devin Culp, people were very high on. I didn't even have him on my board, but apparently he had a crazy good, like he ran like a 4.45 at the combine. It's pretty big. And we definitely needed a more athletic, more promising tight end. And the last Washington tight end turned out pretty good with Kadon.
Yeah, all right. We're actually going to take another short break because we have to talk about Commanders, and that's going to take at least a few minutes. So we're going to take one more short break, and then we'll be right back. But before we get to the Commanders, Connor, let's talk about Tennessee. A lot of people were trashing on that J.C. Latham pick. I mean, listen, he's on the right, but he should be okay.
Yeah, I think he's a complete wall.
If it's all about penalties with him, right? Is if he can stop making those penalties, committing those penalties, like he'll be fine. 100%.
Yeah, you didn't have your third round pick because of the Levis trade up. So now you, with your second, you get Devondre Sweat. And with, he got arrested and all that. So be interesting to see what comes out of that. But, you know, he probably would have been a first-round pick if he did not get arrested. So, you know, sometimes with those guys, it works out, you know?
And sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes you could see more incidents. But right now, give him the benefit of the doubt. The GM and him talked and all that. He accepted responsibility, everything. So you give him the benefit of the doubt and say they got a first-round talent. DT in the second round, got some good later round picks, big fan of James Williams, likes Jarvis Brownlee, didn't love Cedric Gray, but he was really good for just getting tackles, racking up tackles, basically. Can move around a bit, very disruptive, but had a little rough combine.
Yeah, all right, and finally, Connor, the Washington Commanders. I love their second-round pick in Newton.
Man, if they took Drake May in the first round, this could be an all-time draft.
Instead? Instead, Connor, what is it?
Instead, it's still a good draft, but I just can't trust Jaden Daniels to be a franchise quarterback. Can't at all.
Especially not right away. I mean, this season you're basically this season's basically a wash. I mean, you're not winning anything this season.
Day two was phenomenal, really phenomenal. Loved Johnny Newton, loved Mike Sainer still, loved Ben Sinnott, Brandon Coleman, another great day two pick.
They got Luke McCaffrey, Connor. I mean.
Don't don't love the Luke McCaffrey pick.
That's more of a media pick, is it not?
Yeah, I guess you could say some jerseys might sell there with a McCaffrey. Who knows? But he can be a solid wide receiver for me.
Yeah, and you know, he can also be a good guy in the return game as well. I think that's an underrated part of where he could play. Make a difference for this team.
But yeah, I mean, other than my disdain for Jaden Daniels, it was a really solid draft by the new group in there.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing about this draft, though, Connor. They're going to be remembered for what they did with that first round pick. I mean, listen, as much as we want to kind of look at later round picks and be, oh, you know, look at this guy. First round picks to fans, but also to ownership matter the most because it's like the most televised, it's most publicized, and those are the biggest names. And especially when you're picking a quarterback, right? The guy of the future for, well, at least the intended guy for the future of this team. That's a pick that you just have to hit on, right? Because that's going to define how you and, you know, your GM class are viewed, is it not?
Yeah, I do think they got ahead of themselves with all the moves they made in the offseason. They were trying to set up for Jaden Daniels, and then kind of more stuff happened, and maybe they wanted to go away from him, but it was hard to. You traded your pocket passer for a... an athletical-based quarterback to mentor him. You just did so much that tried to set up for this ultra-athletic run for his quarterback that you had to stick it out. And who knows? Maybe he becomes...
Yeah, it's possible, Connor.
100-yard runner so you can... And 10-touchdown runner so you can forget about his whole not good at throwing the ball over the middle and staying in the pocket.
Connor, listen, you and I have been wrong before, right? It's possible we're both wrong about Jaden Daniels. I don't think we are, but it's possible. You know, listen, at the end of the day, listen, we are only two guys talking, and there are some GMs who think that they know better. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. All I know is, Connor, you and I have been doing this for 5 years now when we have not been fired yet. And a couple GMs...
almost got fired on that Justin Herbert.
Yeah, we did almost get fired, but luckily we have a very benevolent boss, and he kept us on after that. You know, we did have to publish an apology episode, as I was forced to by my boss, which was me. But outside of that, we've really been pretty good. I think I've missed a couple more picks than you have, but looking to change that this year. But we'll see. That was the NFL draft, folks. A lot happened. A lot went down. If you want more draft content, which I don't even know why you would at this point, you can go watch our YouTube live stream, which is now a video on the Masterplan YouTube channel. With that being said, Connor, thank you so much. It is time for the Celtics. We just did about, an hour and 20 on this. So go watch the Celtics, enjoy your evening, and, yeah, Connor, thanks so much for joining, and fans, everyone for listening, thank you so much, and we will be back for another episode soon. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
I know for a fact I am not like the rest of the guys in the NFL.
Talk.
I know I'm a top five receiver. Yeah. I know I'm a top three receiver.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
keep going. Yeah. Keep going.
You know, I just got to prove the people. Right? When I'm working, I'm like, oh, you know what I'm saying? I'm a dog.